The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is Quad Sal. Let's go. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm amazing because we have a very special guest today.
We do.
We do have a very special guest. So it's been far too long, but once again, we have our beloved Canadian correspondent, Daniel, with us to talk about Skate Canada. Hi, Daniel.
Hello. I'm so glad to have been invited back to my favorite skating podcast. I love the skating lesson.
How dare you? This is the run through.
In the loop is in the loop, right?
God, there's so many of us, and I need the record to show that I'm not shading anyone except for the ones that I am shading. You know who you are.
I'm
trying to maintain the peace.
I just haven't, I've never once in my entire life, and this is, I swear to God, true, I've never listened to anybody else's skating podcast, even one time.
I respect
Which
that.
You can probably tell by listening to this Wi-Fi.
I respect that for you.
So I don't know if they're good or not, but it's not my job to say. So no. before we talk about any of the skating in Canada, now that we have a real Canadian with us, I wanted to talk about the Moosehead and like
the Moosehead. Oh, that's what mother. That's my
mother.
I was kind of there in spirit, you know. I felt. I felt like I was there through her. That's my mom. A moose is my mom. They just call me Knuckles. You know, that's mama. Oh, love her.
I think I'm with you. I said it on Twitter. I don't know why everyone was so pressed about the moose head and kind of assumed that the moose head was bad and malevolent in some way. I tweeted that the moose head is now my friend, and the official Twitter account of the Mooseheads replied and said that they respect me. So now I have to get
into hockey. There's an official account? What?
Well, it's of the hockey team, not of the Moosehead itself.
Wait, there's a hockey team? Wait, I'm the Canadian.
Yeah. Wait. Well, yeah, the Moosehead is not just there. The Moosehead is there because the rink is apparently the Halifax Mooseheads rink.
It was just there for the drama.
Oh, so it's the guardian of this ring. Okay.
It's a talisman. It's a mascot. It's terrifying, and we love her. I don't know why.
A little foreboding. It behooves like smoke around, like a smoke machine, like around the back of the head, just like the disembodied. Oh, love it.
Well, it's we are topical. Recording this the it day before Halloween, me. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, right, and also Wicked is coming out soon. It reminded me of the dragon thing.
Oh, yes.
And Wicked. And then, you know, even if you see the movie, you won't see it because nothing is visually discernible in that film, but that's fine. I liked it. I think there should be weird stuff everywhere. It reminded me of, and I need listeners to tell me if they remember this or if this was, because this was a restaurant I used to go to as a child. And I don't know if it was a chain or if it was like a local chain or a national chain. Do anybody in America or New England remember Bugaboo Creek in the 90s? Because Bugaboo Creek was a restaurant where it was like taxidermied animal heads. Like the moose was the main one.
Oh, hell no.
They were like animatronic puppets. And every like 15 minutes, they all sang together like the Tiki Room. But it was like, you know, forest themed. And the moose, first of all, the other day I found a pencil or like a crayon from Bugaboo Creek that is like 30 years old from the kids' meal. And I sent it to my sister and she was like, holy shit. But the worst part was on your birthday, they brought out a small moose puppet that was more like a hand puppet and you had to kiss it and it looked like it had rabies. And so
I'm wincing at this right now.
Are you sure that you didn't, that all of this is not like a recurring nightmare?
If it was a recurring nightmare, then how do you explain the crayon?
Yeah, it's like the totem from Inception.
I was going to say, that's my Inception totem is the Bugaboo Creek crayon.
I'm concerned. We didn't have any of that in Bulgaria.
No one had to kiss it.
No one had to kiss anything in Bulgaria in the 90s.
That's what, true.
What's your totem, Netta? What's your inception totem?
Oh, God. That's a great question. I don't know if I have one because I'm constantly in kind of a state of disassociation. So I may or may not actually not have one to ground me back to reality. I truly don't know.
Mine is like, you know, because in the movie, right, it's Leonardo, I don't know what his name in the he spins the top and you never see whether it's really, mine
but it kind of wobbles a tiny bit.
Mine is a Lutz and you don't see whether the judges call the edge.
Yes.
right?
E question mark? It's like Schrodinger's like Flutz.
Yeah, it's a Euro it's a Euro champion's Lutz, right? Euro
champion's
Lutz.
Yes. Will it be called?
Let's talk about people who can't skate, maybe.
Maybe.
So we are doing the podiums of Skate Canada, which happened last week, under the watchful eye of the Moosehead in Halifax.
Under his eye? No, Nina
Pizzeron. Under her eye, excuse me. No, Nina Pizzeron. Oh, God. And things happened and people won shit and a lot occurred and we're going to talk about it. We're going to start with men.
Okay.
We're going to start with men.
So in third place with the bronze medal, Cha Jin-won from South Korea.
Who, okay. Highway robberies in the short program.
Yeah, what the hell?
Robbery in the short program. And then he was like, not today, Satan, and really left the judges no choice in the free, I would like to say.
It was the six PCS heard around the world.
From the French judge, mind you. I'm a French speaker. I was pissed off. Like, are you kidding? Sixes.
Sixes is insane.
Six French for 10?
The way French numbers are it's all very confusing.
Do you think they were confused? Do you think the French judge I don't know what their gender is. Do you think the French judge was confused and thought they were giving him tens?
Yeah, because it's English numbers, right? Because
Well, they're Arabic numerals, so you would think that they would know which one to press.
I truly cannot explain this, and I would have done a full, gymnastics, inquiry.
I know! I was just going to bring up that I don't think we should have live inquiries in figure skating, because Lord knows, look at how it's working out for the gymnastics girlies. I'm still in Olympics brain a little bit. But I do think about that one Italian artistic gymnastics judge who's like the cunty lady who just walks over to the judges and she will not leave until she's been listened to. I feel like I need someone like that at the judges' panel at figure skating to just be like, you need to explain yourself right now. Why is this a six? What is
Completely
wrong
agree.
With you?
Absolutely.
You should
agree.
Be able to when it's that low.
Yeah,
right?
When it's like
and
this
it's that,
insane and like
or egregious. If it's that much of an outlier.
Yeah.
If it's a PCS gay org.
not to tinfoil hat, but I'm wondering, I don't know if you guys know. He stopped training under Orser at the cricket club last season.
Oh, that's right. So
he's back with his Korean coach. I'm a cricket club defender to the day I die.
Of course.
But do you think there's something, I don't know, because it was the outlier, right? But do you think it could be the start of something, them not recognizing the club anymore and not recognizing the Brian Orser there and not recognizing that right now the K-Fed for men is not that deep. The field is not so deep for the Korean men. Do you think there's something going on there of hey, we're gonna start robbing PCS or do you think it's something else? What do you guys think?
I genuinely don't know. And I feel stupid about it because I'm like, I truly anything could go into PCS. And that's the problem for me is that you could just put anything into it. It could be these conspiracies. It could be
they don't like Imagine Dragons, which is a mistake.
I heard on Twitter that some people were saying that it was reliable. Literally just on Twitter, which is reliable. Some people were speculating that it was just them saying they don't like this program for him. And I'm like, I don't think that should be that much of a factor.
It should not be that. And if anything, that should go just towards composition. Well,
that's what it was. It was composition, but I'm like, but even just like the song choice, I'm like, it can't, you have to try and see what they were trying to do at least.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm the biggest Imagine Dragons defender of all time. I know I've talked about this on the pod last season, but I'm going to say it again. I saw them in concert last year. They were incredible. Dan Reynolds is so fucking good live. He is so wonderful. And his concerts are just, like, the way he speaks to an audience is just fantastic. And I went to this concert just to entertain my friends who are going. And I left as like an actual defender. So now I'm like really, really sold. And Natro is a very good song for skating, I think, because it's like, it's so epic. Like it builds in such an aggressive way that I think that for someone who is this good at like expressing himself on ice, I think it's actually a very fun choice and very good in combination with the free skate as well. It like really builds a nice package, if you will.
That makes me think a little, not to ramble, I'm just wondering.
No, we've never rambled on the show.
I've never once rambled.
Never once. We're all fine art school people here. I'm wondering, you know how at the beginning of a performance, a lot of the time you'll have like a pre-show talk or even a performer will go on in a masterclass and give notes on, say, the composer or the playwright and say, this is from this is my background in this, this is why I'm doing this. I know that like national, like the feds have their press conferences at the beginning of the year, but I think something at the beginning of an event like this, even just a short, like a 2 second, like a 2 sentence abstract sort of thing would help judges and audiences kind of get a feel for, hey, what's the vision here? Because we're avid fans of the sport, but for more casual fans or more passing fans, I think this kind of thing would help kind of get our heads around.
You're kind of
not that this program was necessarily abstract, but I think it would help judges and an audience kind of get a vision. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think Ashley Wagner was saying kind of something similar on Twitter as well, that skaters should kind of have to explain their package and kind of pitch it to the judges and to whoever else has to kind of understand what's going on.
Yeah, like. Not to normie core, but we saw the press conferences in Yuri and I, so can we get that in?
We did. I will also say that might also be up to the journalist and like the mixed zone and stuff, because you can very much, instead of being like, so why is your dress pink, you can very much ask like, hey, what's the story of your short? And all of them have those like weird convoluted backstories that they have in their heads for why this is the concept. All of them could probably give you I'm skating as a post-apocalyptic spaceman who is blah, 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 blah. Like, everyone can give you that. And you just got to ask, and we can't possibly have all of them on the pod, so someone else please ask.
I do think that's a cool idea of having, like, a little video package, like in Ninja Warrior, where they tell you, like, how sad their life is, like,
yeah, 4 seconds absolutely.
Before they fall off into the water. it would be like that in my head. But I think that would be really smart, even if it was literally just, like, 10 seconds long and they had, like, one sentence. Or otherwise,
well, now maybe
it could be an essay portion.
Now with the new ISU website, maybe that could be a thing that they implemented in a website along with the glamour shots of everyone. Could be a hi, I'm so and so, my short program this season is this and I chose it because ABC, like that's all.
That would be cute. And I think that's why one of the reasons why people like Mark's commentary, because he does seem to make an effort to ask the skaters, what do you want people to know, and like tell the backstory. Absolutely. And I think that's why people really like the Olympics, to be honest with you, because there's like a story element to it.
Yeah.
And they always kind of tell you what's going on because they assume that you don't know. And like, that's the kind of assuming you don't know that I would be fine with. I don't want somebody to yell out like Quadlets like every time that happens.
But sorry, that's me.
But you're not like the world feed announcer, so that's fine.
Yeah. You're not on television, which is, you know, terrible for all of us who don't get you on television. But I guess of course that's why you're here. You're here to get flattered. I don't know. I'm excited for Jonah. I hope that we get out of Six Gate, because what the hell was that?
I love the free skate, though. That is, I think, my favorite gym program of all time.
I really like it.
I love the red, the red fringe.
It's so dramatic. It's so everything.
There was one, you know how like after the event, there's always like a couple like really like candid, really high definition shots that like everyone retweets.
Mm-hmm.
There was one of June after the free skate, like after his free skate, where one of the tassels was like coming out of his like was like just on the corner of his mouth.
Uh-huh.
So fun. Oh yeah. My god.
No,
oh,
wow. So familiar. Oh. I'm familiar with that image. It's looks very, so very cool. Good. Oh god. He just gets the drama. He's always gotten the drama, but I feel like the more he grows up, the more he like really commits to like how big it is. And I'm excited for his season. I really hope
he's really settled in. It's really beautiful to see.
I think being back with his Korean coach has been good for him, as much as I personally would probably want to skate with Cricket because they seem nice. Yeah. And I'm afraid of everything. But it does seem like, you know, being back with his home coach has been good for him. So
Yeah.
In second place, from Japan, we have Shun Sato.
I love Ladies in Lavender for him. I do.
Everyone's doing it. Everyone's doing Ladies in Lavender this year.
Trend alert is Ladies in Lavender.
That short program was so... It was very, like... I was, like, limp wrist, like, flailing, like, watching. It was so beautiful. Oh, my God. Oh, loved it.
Limp wrist flailing, parentheses, positive.
Yes, of course.
Of course, obviously.
That program, it is gorgeous. Oh my goodness, the costume, oh my god, it's gorgeous.
The tailoring stuff. it's like the yin and yang to the red tassels. It's like so structured, but like in a way that is so cool, and we don't see all that often, that kind of like structural like building of shapes on the arms and stuff. It's so cool. And I wouldn't be surprised if it becomes a trend. I feel like it's going to be a trend-setting moment for men's figure skating. I hope.
God, I hope so. Yeah, I hope you're right.
I'm tired of, like, I don't need anything that's, like, form-fitting, very bland, like, lycra. I love, like, what we're getting. The Shun Sato costume, the June costume. What else do we have in this event? On the podium, let me think.
Well, we do, I guess we can talk really quickly about, because we did talk about Ilya, who spoiler alert won, and we're not going to mention him too much because we've already said most of what we have to say last episode. He got that gorgeous fucking Satomi Ito
costume, yes.
And he's not wearing it anymore, apparently.
I saw it said, the tweet was like, his last time or something wearing competition. What's he gonna wear next? Oh my god.
He's gonna wear like a black turtleneck, which, if you know me, is my favorite article of clothing. I wear a black turtleneck almost every day, but not to a vampire program.
I don't want to see it.
What if he has a cape? What if he dresses like the Count from Sesame Street? Like, I'm just trying to think of what would be a bold choice he could still make here. What would be the funniest pivot?
Funniest pivot would be he learns that, regardless of how garbage problematic the band is, he learns that it's by a like emo band, and he skates in full head-to-toe Hot Topic next time.
Oh, I'd love that.
My pitch, I do love that. My pitch would be the costume that Sam Reed's Lestat wears for the Mardi Gras drag parade in the show version of Interview with the Vampire.
Wow.
Which is like full Baroque white face makeup, corset realness.
That is the end game of sensitivity training, is you have to do Baroque drag.
Listen, this is the future liberals want.
That's so beautiful and I'm going full garbage. I want Alice Cullen with the fuck ass bob. with the like, in the baseball uniform, right? You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, and then he can do the little kick.
That's what I want. Yeah.
But then he just has to do supermassive black hole.
What'd you call me?
Yeah, no, I was talking to myself, actually. I was actually talking about myself. Oh, God. Do we have anything else to say about Shun before we kind of move on? Because we kind of bypassed him to talk about Ilya's emo Twilight choices.
I think he's just like, I don't know, I think he's a victim of
having been injured and on and off the scene, and then like sometimes overshadowed by other guys in the field like Cao and Yuma, who are sort of in his age cohort but are maybe doing stuff that's a little more explosive. And Shun's, you know, I feel like his poems have always been a little more on the like understated, demure side. Yeah. And
not demure.
I hate that I can't say it now, because now it's like an old.
I've been saying demure forever. You know,
no,
I've been saying
it forever. It's like, it's a great word. I want to keep saying it and not seem lame. But yeah, I think, you know, I think that like a newer fan or like a less diehard fan might not know who he is. But I really hope that he starts getting the recognition, especially this year. And I think starting with a silver medal in his first Grand Prix is a great start.
Yeah. Honestly, it did make me sad to see in the press conference him talking about, just real quick, him talking about how he feels as though there's this giant rift in skill between him and Ilya, and how he's the be-all, end-all, and how there's... It was a little upsetting, because he's in his own right, period, just such a... magnificent skater. I just hate to see the comparison is the thief of joy in this case. It really you know, it's, I don't blame him for thinking that way with how the judges, you know, treat
the judges and like
lately,
the commentary, but... and all of the like social media hype is like all of it, I think combined, would really fuck with someone's head. And I really hope he, like, I really hope there is a good like sports therapist, and like his coaching staff can be like, hey, no, you have to, you know, trust in yourself, because what's the point of skating if you're gonna skate out and be like, I know I'm not like as good, but like let me just do a program. Like you can't be doing that to yourself. Mm-hmm. It sounds really depressing. And
it is. And I would say, first of all, there's also a giant skill rift going the other way in certain areas.
Yeah.
And then
you would think.
I guess what's interesting too, that I think kind of bears out in the press conferences a little, is you see the fact that this is like a truly international sport, and you see the differences perhaps in like different languages and the way that their culture is baked into them, like the different varying levels of like humility and like self-deprecation versus like self-aggrandizing. And like, I can't pretend that I've studied Japanese for a long time. I studied it for a couple of years, but it's a very like polite, like kind of self-deprecating language by like its grammatical structure. And so I think it would be, I just can't picture like Shun Sato coming out and being like, I'm the quad god. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, sound off if you're a listener and you're Japanese or you've spent a lot of time in Japan and you're like, Megan, you're a fucking idiot, because that's definitely possible. But sometimes I just think like culturally, like America, it does have that like brazenness that allows its athletes to just come out and be like, fuck you, I'm the best, in a way that
it is very that meme from the old, everyone knows the old Tumblr days, especially you two, not to carbon date you two, but like the America come here. Of like the Hitalia-esque posts that used to be there, and the American would always come jumping through the wall. What team? Wild, you know, Wildcats. That meme. It's very that. It's very guns a-blazing, very brazen American. Yeah, I wish the judges wouldn't fall for it. You know, sorry.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like I ranted excessively about that in the last episode, but I do agree. I don't know. I just hope Shun is doing good and is proud of himself. Silver in his first Grand Prix of the season is great.
I would have loved to see him happy about it, because he looked relieved but also very upset with his coach there in the kiss and cry after the free skate score came out. I really feel for him.
Yeah, it's also hard to tell too, because he has kind of a sad face, and I'm allowed to say that because I sort of also have a sad face, and people think I'm sad all the time. But so when I see fellow sad faced people, I'm always like, well, damn, now I don't even know if you're happy.
I'm playing it right now as we speak, like in the background, and oh wait, there's a smile. So I think it is relief. I think it's mostly relief.
You're becoming one of those like online body language experts.
Oh yeah, his arms are crossed, which means he's closed off to the world.
Yeah, psychology says, right?
Oh god.
Yeah. So in first place with the gold medal is Ilya Malinin. We've talked a lot about it. I don't know, Daniel, is there anything you want to say about Ilya's programs this year, or how you're feeling about him?
Bring the Malagueña back, you know.
Yeah.
From last season, the Malagueña, it was a short program, right?
I think. Yeah.
Because the free skate was the stonks.
Yes, Freeskin was Succession.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That Malagueña program was the, it was fucking incredible. Like, and then these programs this year, I'm not crazy about this set of programs for him, you know? Like, sure, he's selling the step sequence a little bit with the legal backflip to the canceled band, whatever. But sure, the costume's a highlight, but it shouldn't be the only thing I'm looking forward to seeing in the.
Yeah, and also you're not going to be seeing it anymore. So what even is the point?
Oh my god, you know what? Forget I said anything. I'm ready for Vera Wang next at the Grand Prix final. I'm ready for the Vera Wang turtleneck.
So while we're talking about Ilya costumes, real quick, I have to talk about the Lisa McKinnon gate on Instagram because that made me laugh so hard.
Not me, though.
She posted a really nice post about Ilya and a picture of him in the Ceci n'est pas une hoodie. And and then underneath, she wrote, like, P.S., I didn't make this costume.
And she's valid for that. And she's so fucking valid for that. I wouldn't want to be associated with it either. And I would assume that, like, if you're just like someone who follows her because like they know her in real life or something, you would assume she would be sharing something because she made the costume. So I think it's very funny to be like, hey, don't get this wrong. Like, I didn't.
Well, I think like it's funny to me because it speaks to a certain, like, I feel like I know her just from that and from having known other, like, costume designers.
It's,
I feel like
very
it's a real type of, like, I don't think she would necessarily do it out of a place of, like, fuck this costume, I hate it, and I want to be shady about it. But it also would not extend to the point of, like, let me look up who did it and say, like, costume buy, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? No. It's just, like...
Yeah. It reminds me of when you go to, like, a new dentist and they look in your mouth and they're like, who did this?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like it conveys everything you need. It's like a little like oop, you know, oop.
Yeah.
Like it's very
it's not like active critique, but it's like where did this happen to you?
If she had like a selfie attached to that, I'd love to see it.
Did somebody say it was her? Like, I couldn't remember if the announcer said it was her or whether it was just she wanted
I think she just wanted us to know.
Yeah, she put the preemptive cue on that costume call.
Yeah.
I respect that for her. And, like, one thing I will say as, like, an educator.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No, I think, it's interesting. I've been doing this show for longer than I have been in my current job teaching music lessons. And I feel like it's given me a different perspective, sort of, as I both, like, age and see a lot of the skaters, like, as children who are like my students' age versus like peers. And I find myself like identifying more with the coaches and like thinking about what's the strategy to get out of them what you know they can deliver. I think about students like Ilya, and this is, you know, to be really, really clear, like I'm not talking about any like specific particular anybody that I've ever taught. I'm just saying in general, like there's a type of student who's really, really talented and who is really, really into it, but like is coming at it from a perspective of I'm really, really good at the stuff I like and I don't want to put the time in on the fundamentals and the theory. And it's always this push and pull between getting them to do that and getting them to understand that it's important without pushing them away from, in this case, it would be the sport, right?
Yeah.
So the question is, when you're assigning them, for me, it would be like rep, and for Ilya, it would be like programs, right? Do you go in the direction of what you know they like because you think that's the best bet to get passion out of them because they are passionate about it? Or do you force them to do something like a Malagueña that they would never pick for themselves, but you know they're going to grow? And like, I don't, and that's like the question I ask myself that like every day. So I feel the struggle. It's interesting to see it bear out in a different medium. And I think with any sort of like arts performance education, there's always like that, you know, do you go with someone's comfort zone to get the very best out of them or do you push them out of it? But there's two programs. So I feel like you could kind of have it both ways if you want it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think this particular set of programs has it both ways. But I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of presents a foil, not to beautifully segue, kind of presents a foil for me to our women's champion of this event and the ethos that she's been going through and kind of embodying throughout her career is challenging herself artistically and technically. And that is her forte, whereas Ilya's is, you know, the very technical athletic aspect. Whereas Coyote kind of goes for every single time going out of her comfort zone, every single time challenging herself to grow. And I think that is in part, of course, maturity that comes with the humility and the culture and her personality, but also in the sense that I also just lost my train of thought. So somebody else can take over.
Well, no, but speaking it's probably of women, why she's segue. So good. I mean, that's the thing.
Yes, right? Yes, there we go. Yes.
Yeah, I do want to say, because she keeps challenging herself and doing very different things, my God, am I tired of people freaking out every time she has new programs.
I know, we're going to have to, we'll get there.
Chicago.
I have so much. It's Chicago. It's not fucking like...
There's nothing you can say that I wouldn't buy. Like, she could do whatever she wants and I'd buy it.
Schoenberg? I don't know. I would love that. Like,
yeah, no.
She could do it. People might freak out less, you know, because there's, like, strings in it. I don't know.
Oh, there's strings. Thank God. Yeah, let's talk about women and we'll get there.
Okay. Yeah, in the name of standing on ceremony or whatever, let's start with bronze medalist Hana Yoshida.
So... I love this set of programs for her. I do. I do want to acknowledge we did have a old Japanese sweep on the women's podium, which
I love to see.
You love to see that. Mm-hmm. Does anyone have anything to say about the short program? Because I do have many things to talk to y'all about the free skate.
I just love it. I think it's cool as hell. I think it is like really smart in this particular packaging because it's different enough, but it still sets her apart. And I think that's her biggest strength. I think it's really wise of her and not to totally say the one thing that sets me apart is the triple axel, because it's not always there. And, you know, it's like, well, probably you can never bet you're going to be the only woman with a triple axel anymore, because there's like 20, 30 something of them now. So I think it's cool that she has her own identity and her own like brand to set her apart in like what might be the deepest field in the sport.
Absolutely.
So I think that's
like
sort of
the
like
music
cool
because theory. It's Bulgarian folk music. So.
I was about to say,
it's a Bulgarian women's choir.
Yeah, it is. They're using that white voice technique, right?
Yeah,
it's gorgeous. I have it in my notes here. I want to talk to you about it. I got chills. It's gorgeous. I got chills. It's beautiful stuff. Oh my goodness.
This is
by Christopher Tin, who did the Civ music. So
yes, it is by Christopher Tin with the Bulgarian, it's technically the Bulgarian State Television choir, but they're called, they're known as the Mystery of Bulgarian Voices because there is like a whole project with a vocal project, which was called that. And it's all about the specifics of Bulgarian folk singing, which y'all can obviously hear because your musicians is very bizarre and dissonant, and there's like the whole diaphonic thing that they do, which you're either born with it or it just never happens for you, is kind of the thing there. It is so exciting to hear it incorporated in skating like that. And as the one Bulgarian who cares, she's welcome to do that. Yes, 100%.
You know, after many years of loving Yuri on Ice, finally we're seeing Japan Weebery about Bulgaria, and it all comes back full circle.
Hell yeah, and I support it. I support it. It makes me happy. It's great.
I love it, and I think the taste in music is. See, when she had the Cuckoo Fun program last year, and that was a Caitlin Weaver program, I believe.
Yes.
And now she's with Lori and Benoit doing the choreography, which shows me that she's got some moxie of her own. She, obviously she's a skater, but I just put it together. She obviously has a big investment and a big hand in choosing this music, because it's a playlist full of... it's just, oh, it's so cunty. It's incredible. So every time I see, I see a new program from her, I'm excited because I know it's going to slap, absolutely slap.
Yes, 100%. And I think her free skate is no different. I kind of love that she's wearing the
what was it, the Galaxy print that like everyone had in 2014 or something. I have that exact sweatshirt in Animal Crossing.
I'm looking at it. Wait, it is that exact, like, oh, I like it though.
What was that you called? Like what? Vaporwave? Was that Vaporwave?
It is Vaporwave, yes. The whole aesthetic, the purples and pinks and stars.
But it works because it's a weird, like, bandagey silhouette with cutouts. It's not just like a dress made of that, and they called it a day. So for me, it works.
I kind of wish the sleeve was not bandagey. I was thinking about it, looking at it this time around. I feel like there's too much bandaging in this dress, which I'm not mad at. I like the 2014 Tumblr Galaxy print. I'm not mad at it. I don't know. I want the sleeve to be different. But what I do want to talk to you all about is Star Mania the musical.
Please, please, because I remember looking up what the hell is this song from or about, seeing it was about, it was from a French rock opera, and being like, I don't have the bandwidth to deep dive into this right now.
Oh, I haven't deep dove in either. I'm just going to read you the very first sentence of the plot outline.
Please.
I apologize for the word that I'm about to say. I'm about to use a word for trans people that's maybe not the best unless you're of the community and you feel comfortable using it. However, this piece of music was written in 1976 and times were different. The plot outline begins as such. So Star Mania, right? It's 1976, French-Canadian cyberpunk rock opera. So we're off to a great start.
Oh, hello.
Yes.
I love all those words.
Yes, all of those words in this sequence, fabulous. Here's what it is. In a nebulous future, Monopolis, the capital of the recently united Occident, that's O-C-C-I-D-N-T, is terrorized by the Black Stars, a gang headed by Johnny Rockford. Rockford dances to the tune of Sadia, an ambiguously gendered student agitator, originally from the upper crust, who is described as a transvestite. That's where we start.
So they were trying to do Canadian Rocky Horror, basically?
Yeah, well, sort of. There's a lot happens afterwards. We start here, and then a lot happens.
So what I'm getting is that Hana Yoshida is an ally.
Hana Yoshida is an ally. The immediate next sentence is, they meet at the underground cafe under the amused gaze of Marie Jean, the robotic waitress. So I wonder if Hana is supposed to be the robotic waitress.
New dream role unlocked for me. I don't give a shit what she sings. I want to be her now.
Yeah, me too. Fuck the witch from Into the Woods. Give me that, right?
Yeah, that's number one for me now. I think, first of all, I want to say we already know Hana Yoshida is an ally because she's a friend of Caitlin Weaver, which is a new euphemism I just made up.
As opposed to a friend of Dorothy.
Friend of Dorothy, ally of Caitlin Weaver.
Yeah, exactly. Friend of Caitlin Weaver means that you're an ally in the skating community.
Wow. Much to consider. I like this. I like this program. I like that it's weird. I like the deep pull of this piece of music that's kind of becoming, I mean, it's not a warhorse necessarily, but many people have used it, and I doubt that any of them have read the Wikipedia page about Star Mania, the cyber pop rock opera.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, actually. I know we talked a lot about the Nina Handmaid's Tale thing on the bonus stream. But this is a case where I'm like, maybe actually the source material is obscure enough that we don't need to worry about it. So
yeah,
much.
No, I think I like the deep cut that this is.
Yeah, I like her dedication to deep cuts. I respect it.
Let's talk about Bruno Matsuike, who ended up in a second with the silver medal after tying with Amber Glenn and whoever else. For biggest climb in
one event.
It's the climb. Oh, it's Amber Glenn and Jeremy Abbott who have done this.
Yeah, way early in the night, Jeremy Abbott, too. Oh, my goodness.
She wanted this podium. She had a rough, rough time in the short and then decided that it wasn't going to happen. And she delivered in the freeze so fucking hard. And I respect that. And I love stories like that. It makes me happy when something that seems nearly impossible happens like that.
Right? Like, yeah. Different event, different discipline, but it was very Nathan Chen, Pyeongchang. It was,
yeah,
to come out after 10th place and back in the first group and to give a 139.85. Oh,
crazy.
My goodness.
Yeah, it was giving incredible. Adam in Worlds.
Yeah, it's giving like, yeah, no, definitely. I've slept it off and you're going to see what I'm actually about. I love it.
Maybe this time, right?
Yeah. Functionally that.
Maybe this time I'll win.
Wow.
Second place. Yeah, this is incredible. First, I want to lecture anyone listening about how to say her name, which is Reno, as in like Reno, Nevada, and then Matsuike, like Ricky Matsui from Dimension 20, and then K, or like like Mats, like the applesauce, and then Sui, like chop, and then K, like the first letter of my last name.
Yeah, Matsuike. God bless Ted Barton, but he cannot pronounce.
I feel names. Like
he's better than the British guy. What is his name? Chris or Tris?
Chris. Oh, Chris. I feel like
Chris. Ted's... He said like Ringo Matsuki. Like, what
he called her Renu. First of all, where are we getting Renu? Renu Matsuki. He also called Wakaba. He called her
Coochie.
Coochie. Yeah. He called her Wakabe Coochie.
Which would be a funny
drag persona based on Wakaba, but
yeah. No, I think with some of those, and I'm not defending the commentators, I wonder if they like, because I know there's people who give them the correct pronunciations and all of that. I wonder if it's the case of like they get so in their heads that they just scramble it. Like you've learned how to say it the right way, and then you're like, no, never mind. I'm just going to say words.
They need voice recordings of the names, and they need like we had for
the Olympics, the cursed recordings of everyone in like a table tennis setting saying their own names was my favorite thing about the Olympics.
It's
so funny.
I didn't see that. What event was
that? Oh my God, Megan, on the website, on the Olympics website, every single athlete, they held up like a recorder to their face and were like, tell us how to say your name. But they did all of them in like a, literally with like, you can hear a table tennis going on in the background.
That's kind of great.
It's so funny. I have a bunch of them saved because people are doing like tier list of them on TikTok. I'll send you that.
Like imagine please like the edit and the fan cam potential. Like
yes.
Like a Kari double axel and then like her saying her name, then the funk, the boom, boom, like the funk music, yes. Right?
That would eat.
I feel we're just getting so many new ideas for the new ISU website. I feel hire like we should ISU. Just yeah, hire us. We have marketing ideas.
Because we've already said so many awful things about you that it just won't work out. But yeah.
I also just quit my marketing job and I'm never doing marketing again. But I do have ideas. I do have ideas.
I think that with Reno, I'm like, okay, whatever. Like the European mind cannot comprehend of a language where everything is just spelled out pretty phonetically because we have a lot of stupid whatever, it's fine.
French.
Yeah, actually, that sounds like an English speaking problem as a European who my language is entirely phonetic.
Oh, I meant like England, Europe.
Yeah.
Like,
wow. Europe. Jesus.
Which
Christ.
Is like not, yeah, whatever. Sorry, I guess it's not England, but whatever.
Yeah.
So,
no,
I think with Reno, I'm like, okay, if you haven't spent a lot of time saying her name out loud, it's because she has been kind of on and off in terms of, you know, how well she's been performing. But Kaori Sakamoto has won 3 times the world championships, excuse me. And to still say her name like Kaori is just ignorant. Like, you have to go out of your way to not know how to say Kaori or to think that, like, no, I'm right. It's Kaori. Yeah. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Well, I am talking about Kaori Sakamoto, the winner of this event. My God, did she give me a little bit of a scare in the free?
Wait, hold on. We're like totally, I know, we are totally discombobulated though because we didn't actually talk about Reno.
Did we not? I feel like we did.
We talked about her name and that's it.
Well, when we talked about her climb. I don't know what to say about her programs because it takes me a second to get on board with a Moulin Rouge. Always. I have like a love-hate relationship with Moulin Rouge. And I don't know. I know she did it last year as well, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
I like that it's pink. I think that's really funny. I think it would be really easy to do a red Moulin Rouge Satine homage. But I think pink is like, nah, this is my thing. I like it. But I do think it's a free skate that stands out for me. And it's another Christopher Tin banger. It's a Luke Zaterna. And I think
Christopher Tin is having such a week.
He is, and he tweeted about it. He was like, congratulations to all the Team Japan people who like me. You like me. No, I just think it's not even about the program. It's like, it's just her edges and her beautiful, 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 beautiful skating. It's like class of its own. I think that what stuck out for me, because I think, you know, we've all said how unbelievable it is and how happy we are for her to like have had a good enough skate to climb that far and to have everybody recognize how good she is. A couple things I was thinking about was like, one, if she's that good, like, why is she not more on the radar? Consistency be damned. Like, I just haven't heard as much about her. And for me personally, I was looking and I was like, oh, yeah, I don't think I could really put a finger on like any previous program she's ever done that has stuck out to me as memorable. I think she's a victim of like not memorable programs.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And it's a lot of things that many people have done as well. So I wonder if that kind of contributes to that. And also she's like kept programs for a couple seasons and all of that. So I don't know. I don't know if she just hasn't had a chance to do something really challenging or to like step out of her comfort zone. Cause she, I don't know if she's had like that much prolonged experience to really get to step out of her comfort zone in the context of senior international skating. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a coincidence that the program she really like popped off on, this Luke Zaterna, is kind of a deep cut that's not like a household name, because One Day I'll Fly Away, Papa Can You Hear Me, Nella Fantasia, like these are all classics. Songs that are either they're war horses, they have a story, they have three other skaters you can think of who've done the same thing. Maybe she needed more of like a blank slate.
Maybe like not thinking, oh, I'm doing the thing that so and so has also done helps. Who knows?
Yeah. Also, I wanted to say that there was like some stupid rage bait post going around Twitter about how like women's figure skating has fallen off and it's like degrading or whatever. And like no one cares. But I don't really care about the original post because it's like obviously not a thing. But then people I did see some people say whose opinions I generally am like, yeah, you have good opinions. That's why you're visible to me on this app and not muted immediately. Yeah, as long as Block works, I will be using it. It's not so much about degradation of the quality, but one thing that some people were arguing has fallen off at women's is consistency. And I don't know if I can say 100% sure whether I agree or not, but I don't think that makes it a better and more enjoyable sport, because if we had 100% consistency, we wouldn't have the story of Rina Matsuike going
and
from 10th to,
we would, you know, we what would I mean? Be back in the hell where you just know who's gonna win. I'm so excited to watch skating where I know what's most statistically likely to happen for the podium, but there is always, you know, kind of going into Grand Prix France, which is about to happen in like 2 days. There are so many people in that list that if they have the skate of their fucking life, something could be spicy. And I think that's so exciting. Oh. I think that's so much more exciting than just, oh, A, B, and C are there. And also there's 9 other people filling out the list.
No, I agree. And I think, too, I think there was an era, which we all miss because it was awesome, right? But I think there was an era. Three. Yeah, it was an era where it was like, if you have a triple lutz, triple toe, and like don't fall, and like, you know, it's like everybody kind of had the same program layout because there was like one that was just the best one to have. Yeah. And it was just a matter of like, is someone going to fall? And if no one falls, then it's a matter of opinion of who's skating you like the best. And I can see that being really frustrating from a judging point of view of like, if the judges don't agree with you, then it's like a frustrating sport to watch. I remember thinking that it was a lot more like subjective. It's still subjective, but in a different
still,
way.
Yeah, I don't know if there's one way to make this work for everyone ever.
Except Kaori is the one way that works for everybody always forever.
Well, you would think. But apparently not, because people fucking lose their mind when she tries to do a musical theater.
It's Chicago.
It's literally Chicago.
It's not John Cage 433. It's not It's not like a dubstep remix of my washing machine. Like it's Chicago. Like relax, and people.
I don't as a person who did a degree in musical theater, I don't expect everyone to have a degree in musical theater, but I do expect you to not freak out when you see the stylized movement that's like clearly inspired by Fosse, like happening to a Chicago program. Like you have to have seen a very popular film from the last 20 years to understand that, and not, you don't need to have a bachelor's degree to get it. My God.
It drives me insane. It's endemic of this weird paternalistic attitude that people take, like particularly with female skaters, but like, I mean, just with skaters in general, yeah. Like fans that then are like parasocial in a way that's like,
who forced you to do this?
Who forced you to do this, baby? We will come rescue you. Benoit Richaud has you in a car at gunpoint. Like, what are you talking about? Like, she's a real woman.
I saw the tweet that said that Marie France, who is her choreographer right now, Marie France Dubreuil,
yeah,
said that she was adamant about Coyote doing Chicago, and it framed it in a way that Coyote, the reigning
three-time world champion,
the reigning three-time world champion and Olympic gold medalist, hello, like are you kidding me? She can obviously say no when she wants to. Like,
she's 24 years old. It's not like she's six and she has never heard music and she has her coaches pick.
She has one of the most insane pedigrees in this sport, and you're gonna tell me that a French Canadian woman was able to tell her what music to? No, she was up to the
French Canadian woman.
You heard it here. We brought a real Canadian on our Skate Canada episode to talk shit about Canada.
It's what I do.
It's true. It's I think there's also this weird assumption, and I see it like everywhere, including like as high as the commentators, like who also seem to think this, even though they're all very much like in the sport. Everybody seems to have this weird misconception that it is the norm or like the majority normal thing to happen that skaters are picking their music. And I don't think that's true. I think that like it's mostly the choreographers pitching music to the skaters, and the skaters can say yes or no, but like nobody is forcing them to do anything. But I think it's like, that makes sense to me that a choreographer would hear a piece of music, say, I have a vision for this. Here's the vibe. I think it would go well with this skater. I know there are situations where skaters do that and they bring it to the choreographer, but I think there's always this assumption that the skater came up with the idea. And I think that's like, that's pretty rare actually. And so they have, I'm sure they have right of refusal, but like for you to assume that there's a lack of agency just because it wasn't their original idea is like ignorant of how most.
Also, like, we can't expect every skater to be a choreographer and a creative producer. Those are different skills.
Beyonce doesn't produce her own music, you know?
If you're an actor, you're not always going to be performing the part you want. Like, it's not like, hi director, I read Hamlet and now I want to be Hamlet. Like, that's not how it happens. What I did want to say about song choices is I'm a 31-year-old adult beginner who skates exclusively for fun. And even I, when I had my, now the program that I've been using and I'm going to continue to use for a little bit, I went to my coach, who's also my choreographer, and I was like, hey, this is kind of the vibe I'm looking for. What would you like to work on that's kind of this vibe? Because it's also their art. It's not just, they're not just giving you the move so you can have a great time. It's like the thing they do.
Precisely. And I think it's like, also,
it's their portfolio.
It is. It's their portfolio. It's like they want to work on something they're inspired by in the same way that the skater wants to skate to something they're inspired by. And I think, too, that there's other considerations, which I think I spoke about a tiny bit on our bonus episode where I was talking about doing that music cut for you, yeah, of like practical considerations that we don't always think about in like cutting music. And I have to imagine it goes double, triple, quadruple for choreography, right? Yeah. Is this idea of like, it's not just a matter of like, does the piece of music slap? It's a matter of like, is there a section in there that makes sense to do a step sequence? Is there a section in there where they can take, as Yuzuru Hanyu put it, little rest? Like, is it like balls to the wall the whole time and then you have to strategize that? You know, is there a cool part for them to spin to? Like, all things that, to get a really good composition score, or at least in my heart, if not in practice, you got to think about all of that too.
I will say it's kind of similar with drag performance, and I'm sorry to like keep bringing it to like things that I am familiar with, but
that's like what I've done music cuts for you in drag. That's also the same
for
stuff
example,
to consider.
Like for example, yeah, in drag, there is many songs that I really love, and like I'll put it on and I'll have like the best time listening to it in my kitchen. But for example, if it has a 45 second guitar solo, there is not much to do to that if you're lip syncing. So you have to be like, is this the best song for this particular thing? Is there a way to move around it? Is there a way to like stage something to be happening at that point? Or is this just a great song that's maybe not for this? And I feel like a lot of skating fans who don't have performance backgrounds of any sort, which that's most people. That's like 95% of people. I feel like people think that it's as easy as like, well, Espresso is a great song. Why doesn't anyone skate to that? And it's like, well, there's many other considerations above, is this a fun song that I like to listen?
Yeah, and like a lot of pop songs, I love pop music. I'm not one of those like weird cheesy people that's like, ugh, pop music, I love it. It's like most of what I listen to. But I can speak as a voice teacher. I have, you know, I let my students tell me what songs they want to sing, and as long as they're appropriate, you know, and fit in with the curriculum we're working on, like I'll totally incorporate that. I'm not going to say like, no, we're only singing this if you hate it. And what I will say, though, is that now having through my own experience and through being introduced to cooler, newer things by younger people, a lot of the pop music is formatted currently in a way that doesn't necessarily like build and change and grow and have an arc to it the way that like the diva songs of old did. Now it's all pretty like one level. And I get it, because it's like, it's dance music, it's music you want to like have on in like a TikTok. And so there's not like a climax per se as much as there used to be in like, I don't know, I think about like Celine Dion songs, Whitney Houston songs, right?
Yeah.
And that's not true across the board, but I also think that's a consideration too, is if you're like Espresso, for example, which I love that song, but it's pretty one note the whole time. And so if you want to musically have that drama in there to support whatever arc of the choreography, then that's not going to do it for you.
Exactly. With all of that said, Kaori can do no wrong in my eyes. Mm-hmm. And I think of in the eyes of anyone who has.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just don't realize, that these like skating like at this level is such a collaborative effort. It takes a village, right? It takes teams of choreographers and coaches and peers and people to bounce ideas off of. And it's such a collaborative effort with the end product that a lot of people see as just this end product and just this one thing, but don't see all the work that goes into it behind it and all the exploration, discovery that goes on. And I think that's so
exactly
important.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what makes her the GOAT, is that she's not resting on her laurels. As we said before, she's pushing herself. Oh, she's Nathaniel. Absolutely. And like,
yes,
I love the Piazzolla medley. I think it's exactly the right choice for her. I think it's so smart. It's so smart.
I am a Piazzolla lover, so I love it.
Me too. Hey,
okay,
look at us.
Great.
Oh my
look
God.
At us.
We've been friends for like 6 years and we have the same opinions. Shocking.
But skating.
Who would have thought?
Skating and seeing live tango performed have both changed that for me, because prior to being like really, really into skating during the last era of tango, Clappin' and Slappin', and prior to getting to see a lot of really cool South American music through my job now, which I'm really lucky to see live, it's like I didn't really get it. And then now I love it. So it's like, it changed over time for me, but so I can kind of see if it's not doing it for you, but I love it. And I think it's so perfect for her.
Yeah. Agreed. Final thought about Kaori as of right now. I love her hair. I love it. I think it's so cute. I think she is mother and she looks incredible.
She got the bleach, and she did eventually remember that the next step is to tone. For that, we should bump her up in PCS even more.
Amen.
I think like, again, like you, sometimes you have to do it in stages, because like your hair is too, I don't know, like you can't judge someone else's hair journey. I think,
yeah,
I also think,
know.
I too think also like everybody knows that, like everybody who's been around for a while knows that Kaori doesn't come out the gate perfect every single time, especially with connection to the choreography. So this is not.
I have it in all caps here. It says when she settles into the choreo, it'll be great. She always at the beginning of the season looks like she's still settling in. You can see her thinking through the motions. But has she ever led us wrong when it comes to later on the season? No.
Nope. She has not.
When she settles in, which she will, because she does, and she always does, it's going to be incredible for her, for the crowd, for the performance.
Agreed.
Everyone on Twitter is going to eat their words. I can't wait for it.
Yes.
Of course she's tentative. It's why wouldn't she be tentative? These are insanely difficult programs.
They're really
that she's
hard.
Challenging herself with. Like, oh my goodness. It's we and me by extension as the lone insane fan you of the three of us. I know. we used to see people talk all the time about how Hanyu would there's only two crossovers. It's so difficult to set. I'm not diminishing that. I'm saying, what's to say? What, and I know because it is. Kaori has this kind of difficulty and this kind of dedication to detail as Hani does, although we see it in a different set of strengths. It's the same difficulty and intensity that somebody like Hanyu has because they have similar, you know, pedigrees in the sport, right?
I genuinely think because she makes it so easy, she makes it look so easy.
I think
people don't realize how hard her quote unquote transitional content, which is the fucking program. That's the whole program. I don't think people realize how hard it actually is. Because it's kind of like when you're more of a normie, for example, watching Ice Dance, and the only thing you can clock is the twizzles. Yeah. I feel like it's the same for many people who are like, they only clock how many crossovers someone's doing.
Absolutely.
And that's not the only way to measure how hard a program is.
So to the naysayers, just wait. We saw the Roots song. We saw the Janet Jackson program, which is my favorite Kaori program. We saw the Lauryn Hill program. It is all incredible at the end of the day. At the end of the season, she makes it work. And it's not like she pulls it out of somewhere where the light doesn't shine. She is working at this. And we can see her working. And it turns out incredibly. Let her cook, right?
Let her cook. Okay, that covers it, y'all. This has been Skate Canada. Before we finish this, Megan,
plushie corner.
Tell us about the plushies, please, God.
Okay, well, there were so many. I won't go into all of them, but I do want to talk about some standouts for me. Luke Economied, Mr. Economy himself.
Mr. Economy.
Received a kawaii grape soda with a face, which I thought was so incredible.
Oh, love it.
Vlad Litvinsev received some sort of alien demon. Gabrielle Frangipani got a blue hat. Somebody gave him a hat, which was so cute. Junwon continues with his tiger theme. In the short, he got a tiger. And then in the free skate, he got the June tiger in his costume, which is so cute.
Aww.
There were a lot of flowers because the sponsor was flowers, which makes a lot more sense than lotion. So good for
Canada. Lactin. Amber Lactin. Yeah.
Yeah, the flowers. Everyone got flowers. It was so, so, so cute. Whenever a skater hands their flowers to the coach, I start crying. Even, like, you Aww. Know, Ilya and his dad have such a, like, bro-y father-son relationship. But when Ilya gave his dad that sunflower, I was, like, tearing up.
Oh, and Ilya got I think it was Ilya, got one of those Ender Dragon plushies from Minecraft.
Yeah, because I think his thing is dragons. And so he gets like the How to Train Your Dragons. I didn't clock it as the Minecraft one. But yeah, he's getting like different dragons. There was a weird rainbow colored bug that a lot of people were getting. I clocked like three of them and I was like, who is this rainbow bug? I don't know. I also wrote down Shun got an owl and a towel, which, you know, just hits the ear right. An owl and a towel. Maddie Skies has got a bag of Sour Patch Kids, which I love for her.
Extremely valid.
It has to have been her sister or something, because why would
it
she
look like a friend? It looked like very
it looked
familiar.
Like a friend. It had to be, right? It couldn't be just like
a random person handing out snacks, candy from like pre-Halloween candy.
Yeah, candy I don't know. Right. The one I really want to talk about, though, is Kimmy Ray Pond received Deedle. Are you guys familiar with this shit?
What?
Deedle. I don't know if it's Diddle or Deedle. Do you know this, Netta, as a European baby?
No.
It's like German fake Mickey Mouse. And the only reason I know about this is because my sister has been living in Germany for the last 25 years, and she moved there when I was like in middle school. And so...
Oh, that occurs with me, and yes.
Oh, I just looked at it with the huge feet.
He has huge feet. And she would send me diddle stuff as like a joke. So I had like a diddle binder in middle school, which I thought was, we both thought was hilarious because it's like the word diddle is funny. But I always had this and it was like a joke thing. But for Germans, it's like, yeah, this guy had a chokehold on culture in the 90s. And wow. So I was so thrilled to see him make an appearance and be like, oh my God, I know this mouse. I know this mouse.
I know this mouse. Well, speaking of knowing this mouse, we're going to be in France in 2 days. And by in France, I mean on the internet, looking at France. I'm very excited. I'm very excited because this is the first one of those where truly, truly, truly anything goes in both the men and women's fields.
I, of course, am gunning for Wakabe Coochie. What was it? Wakabe?
Yeah.
I would love to see her in the Grand Prix final. And, you know, I've been a fan since it was very late that I became a fan, but I've been a fan since 6 years ago when she got her silver medal at Worlds with the Skyfall program behind Caitlin Osman. Oh my God, I've loved her since. Not a day goes by I don't think about her. I'm so in love with her.
Yeah, I think if she gets on the podium, then it is a real strong possibility that she could be in the final, which I would just be over the moon to see. Obviously, Amber Lacton herself will be there.
Yes, she will.
God,
so we have a lot to look
forward
to.
It was her birthday like 2 days ago.
Yes, happy belated.
Happy belated.
I know you're listening, Amber. Happy belated.
I saw a lot of trending like Amber Glenn this, Amber Glenn that before I realized it was her birthday. And I thought she either like died or got hurt or something. And I was like, crying.
Jesus Christ, Megan.
And then I was like I thought something happened to her. And because everyone was just like, Amber, we love you so much. We support you. And I'm like, what did she do? Like, it's just her birthday.
It was just her birthday.
She just got older. It's fine.
And in terms of men, if Adam skates good, Adam's winning. But my God, anything else could happen. Anything could happen.
Okay, so are the men going to man? What do you think?
Well, the men didn't man too much last week, so maybe.
No, but the women manned.
The women have been manning more than the men, and that's equality.
That's equality, I think. Yeah.
But in this field, truly, well and truly, anything could happen. I'm very excited. We're going to be on Twitter or X covering as much of it as we humanly can. It is Halloween weekend and some of us are drag artists. If I survive, I'll be there on Saturday to watch things.
Some of us are not drag artists and live in the woods where no one trick-or-treats, so I'll be there.
Sick.
Yeah. The only risk of me not being there is if it snows on Halloween, which it does do up here sometimes, and I lose power. But I think we should be okay.
Terrifying. And finally, well, two things. First of all, Daniel, thank you so much for coming back.
Thank you so much.
Of course, of course. It feels weird coming back. we like interact with each other almost every day.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like it's been so long, but it has.
It has.
Finally, Megan, before we go, do you want to hit me with a list of people who would never interrupt Kari Sakamoto before she's done cooking? Our beautiful, perfect, wonderful Patreon patrons.
Yes, we do. I don't know why that didn't grammatically follow anything you said, but okay, our patrons
Yes, we do, honey.
Our patrons are Jules, Madison, Cricket, Brooke, Michelle, Laura, T, Christine, Elise, Rhea, Elizabeth, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Robin is Trans and Tired, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Alina, Catherine, Margaret, Robert, Vox Machina, Samantha, Samira, Joseph, KM, Jennifer, Jules, and Jordan. Thank you guys so, so, so much.
Thank you so much.
This list makes me so happy every time. And if you're listening, tell a friend, leave us a review, all of those fine things that we never say because they terrify us. And we'll see you in France, everyone.